Welcome to Conflict Resolutionary, the FMCS podcast, where we support listeners to have more empowered conversations while in conflict. My name is Cynthia Pyle Manley, and I am a learning strategist with the Center for Conflict Resolution Education with FMCS.
And I'm Moira Caruso, a mediator with the Office of National Projects with FMCS. We are so pleased to be able to host these conversations where we explore innovative ways to harness the creative potential inherent in conflict so that we can be at our best when it matters the most. Cynthia, who is our guest today?
Our guest today, Moira, is Reginald Jackson, or Coach Reggie, as he's often called. As a professional certified coach, credentialed by the International Coaching Federation, Reginald is a member of the Federal Coaching Network and has served as a senior mentor coach and trainer for the Federal Internal Coach Training Program. His clients are civil servants from various agencies, ranging from mid-level managers to senior executives. And we are so pleased to have Coach Reggie here with us today to talk about how coaching framework works with individuals who are in conflict. Thanks for being here, Reggie.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
So to get us started, could you just give us a little bit of a framework of what coaching is and why someone would want such a service as coaching?
Sure. So what coaching is, it's often a good idea to start off with what coaching isn't. So coaching isn't therapy. Coaching isn't consulting. And with therapy, we typically look at trauma, past events, and how to heal. With consulting, there's a problem to be solved, some solution to be reached, and that person is a subject matter expert. As well, the therapist is the subject matter expert. But with coaching, that's more of a partnership. It is between typically two people. There's also group coaching, but typically between two people where the client is the subject matter expert because they know themselves and their life. And so the coach is the subject matter expert in the coaching realm, but not as the person is concerned. So it's a partnership where an individual works with someone else to help them achieve goals or, you know, perhaps aspire to reach a level that they haven't gained at this point. And what the coach does is offers reflection as a mirror, also provides observations, or perhaps even is able to give resources, and we'll talk more about that when we talk about conflict, to help the client or that individual reach the place they want to go. And the other thing I'll mention is the word coach itself in its etymology is basically a vehicle that carries you from one place to the other. So if you think of like stagecoach or a bus as a coach. So an individual as a coach provides that same guidance on a path to that journey for the individual who is the client, sometimes also called the coachee. And so that's coaching.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well said.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that metaphor of a vehicle and a pathway. That's really great. So you went there already, Reggie. Obviously this is a podcast around conflict. How often would you say you find yourself coaching around conflict in your practice?
All the time. And so because words matter, if we look at conflict in the context of something that is a barrier or it creates or presents resistance, that's in essence everything we do and everywhere we are. And so one of the things that I really stress to my clients, particularly where conflict is concerned, and let's say a conflict between someone else, or perhaps even a conflict within themselves, is A, conflict is normal. So it's nothing we should freak out about. It's nothing we should believe is insurmountable or unachievable to move past the conflict, but to actually understand that conflict is normal. And so when we're faced with these normal situations, what are some tools? What are some tips? What are some ways we can manage and pass through this normal occurrence so that we can feel less stress and then move on with the things in our life.
Mm. I think Cynthia and I would both agree with you wholeheartedly when you say that conflict is normal. You saying that, however, makes me wonder if your clients present as if they think differently. So I guess my question is, what does it look like, or what are some ways that conflict presents in your coaching conversations? How does it come up?
The conflict usually presents itself as some barrier or some resistance. And so let's look at what the barrier is. Let's look at where the resistance lies and what your relationship to that is. So as a coach, my job is to equip you with ways in which to work through the conflict, which is normal. So whenever it shows up, again, you don't freak out. You don't get wrapped around the axle. It's like, oh, okay, here's this thing that's happened as normal things happen. So let me logically and systematically walk my way through this process.
Why do you think conflict presents such a challenge for many of us?
Because it's emotional. And whenever emotion trumps logic, there's a disconnect, right? There's a disconnect from what I would say is reality. And I won't get philosophical because, you know, reality has its own definition for many people, but I'll go back to the normal analogy. In the construct of normal, it's something that we expect. It's something that happens regularly. Conflict, even though it happens regularly, often comes up at a time that we don't expect or that we anticipate, and then we fabricate what the outcome will be. And a lot of times that's really where the conflict is, because we are anticipating an outcome that has yet to occur, and that creates the emotion.
I just got this image of sort of surrendering or releasing the outcome. It's like the pathway, loosening this resistance to conflict, right? Because if we have already an idea of what the outcome will be, we're a little bit closed off to what's possible.
Mm-hmm. From a neuroscience perspective, if you're familiar with the amygdala hijack, so it's a situation that happens when the primitive brain takes over. And as we know, fight or flight, which is now fight, flight, or freeze, right? Like a deer in headlights. Our prefrontal cortex shuts down. All executive function, reason, logic, no longer is present. It's no longer available to us. And the only thing we're focused on is either getting away from, alleviating, or not even being able to deal with the stress, or in this case, the conflict. And so normalizing this, understanding that, oh, here's what's happening, right? Like I'm freaking out about this thing, whatever it is. Usually within about 4 to 6 seconds, when we become present to that, that amygdala hijack, we can then bring ourselves back to center and then really focus on what's going on. Because again, this is a situation where we are anticipating an outcome or fearing an outcome, which then escalates the emotional response.
So, Reggie, it feels really important to me to point out to our listeners right now that this is a tool, what you're describing. Simply being present to the emotion and understanding that what we need is simply not available to us during these 4 seconds that you're talking about. And, you know, executive function is coming back, but it's not with us just yet. And if I could take that even further, it sounds like you're also saying that a lot of the difficulty we experience in this moment is from the resistance to the emotion itself and to whatever outcome you've decided is coming down the pike. Can you say more about that?
Your human response, right? The whole range of emotions. And whenever we try to suppress those, that's also when we get in trouble. So again, going back to normal, it's normal to have those experiences, normal to have that reaction. And it's also normal to bring yourself to a point where you can actually deal with it.
So it sounds like awareness is a big piece of it, like just being aware of your response. Mm-hmm. And it might be a default response, right? It might be a response that isn't your most logical. Like you said, you don't have access to the prefrontal cortex. So it may not be the most logical response. So being aware of that and then shifting, how do you as a coach help your clients make that shift?
Yeah. So because process is very important to me and understanding the power of process, not just in the government, but in a lot of different spaces, acronyms are great ways to remember or recall information. And so there's an acronym, ACAR, A-C-A-R, stands for awareness, choice, action, responsibility. So one of the things that I work with my clients on is recruiting ACAR in practically any situation. But since we're talking about conflict, and you just mentioned it, A, awareness. What is happening here? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I reacting to? What am I resisting, right? Creating awareness about what is going on in the moment. C, choice. Now that I've created this awareness, what is the list of things I can select in response to this conflict? And so the A, action, is actually choosing one of those items in the list of choices. And then R is responsibility, take responsibility for my actions. So I take responsibility on the action I took from the choice I made through the awareness I created. It's something that you can over time practice. And like anything else, you become more proficient with it. And so the awareness piece sometimes can take a little longer than you would care for it to. But again, it's a practice. And so I'll give you in real time how it can work. You and I are having a conversation. Something happens and I go, okay, let me just reflect on that for a moment. I'm creating awareness. And in that moment, I can respond defensively. I can ask a question. I can look for understanding if there was a disconnect. And so I choose one. So I'm looking for understanding. So Cynthia, you just said so-and-so, and I want to make sure I'm clear on exactly what you mean by that. And so I'm also taking responsibility, not only in my choice, but also in the way I'm presenting, in the way I am responding to you. And that's more in the line of logic and reason than emotion. Mm-hmm. And so the moment that I took to say, okay, that's that 4 to 6 seconds that's actually happening. So that's usually how that works in real time. It's certainly not foolproof. And I've not had one client yet who says, that thing doesn't work. They're like, it's amazing, right? Because they're committed to the practice.
I love that offering of shifting and working through the internal dialogue that's going through your head and being conscious and intentional about and taking responsibility about the way that you respond.
Right. You know, something else that I wanted to mention, you said giving up. And so there are three things or three ways to communicate that I want to point out. One is negotiate. When we negotiate, there's a win-win or a win-lose. And that's a barrier and that's resistance because there's something you're willing to give up, but at the same time, there's something you're not willing to give up. And when you're not willing to give up, whatever the thing is, whether it's a principle, whether it's a position, now you're willing to defend it. Again, adversarial. The next way we communicate is collaboration. We're working together. We may have separate and perhaps even opposing views, but we're more open to having the conversation to reach some level of agreement. The third way is partnership. Like in a coaching relationship, more than likely because you're both in agreement in the partnership, you're already aligned in many ways on many topics. So that creates the least amount of resistance. And oftentimes there is no resistance. You're in lockstep.
So negotiation, collaboration, and partnership.
Yes.
In your experience working with your clients, what's the most difficult thing for people to see clearly when they are maybe in one modality and unable to switch to the next mode of communication?
Yeah. So if they're in conflict, partnership is the last thing they're seeing. Because again, if there's an emotional component, which typically there is, there's the stress, there's the standing your ground, there's the right, wrong. All of those elements come to the surface and you have this stake in the ground, essentially, that you have to defend your position. You used the word intentional earlier, and that's something else that's very, very important. Another thing I talk about is alignment, and how that comes into practice is aligning your focus with your intention. And so if your intention is to resolve the conflict, yet you're pointing out where the other party is wrong, and whatever wrong is, rhetorical question, are you aligned to your intention? Chances are probably not.
This tracks so beautifully with something shared in an earlier episode of this podcast on healthy conflict, which is an indication of how important it is. So I want to call it out. Be on the lookout for instances where what you're saying and doing in a difficult conversation is not supporting what you decided you wanted out of the conversation. We all do this, and it takes practice to curb it, but notice it and start to shift back to your intention.
So if, because in some cases, for some people, the choice they've made is this is not possible, right? And I want to stress that it's a choice you make when you say this is not possible. So you've already taken possibility off the table, which means the conflict will remain. More often than not, it will fester, become worse, and the horse has left the barn, you know.
Off the rails.
Yeah, off the rails. Yeah. It's a lost cause.
I've had the benefit of being mentored by you, Reggie, and coached by you. And that choice piece has been really empowering for me. Awareness of that choice is something that is cultivated over time, and you become more and more aware of the choices that you're making the deeper you commit to this practice. And so I just thought that was a beautiful connection that I see there.
Thank you.
Reggie, when someone is embroiled in conflict and perhaps not making the right choices, or even knowing that there is a choice to be made, how might they know that it's time to seek a coach?
Another great question. The first thought is being aware of what's happening. And also coming to the realization that you've perhaps tried everything you know of, or you're at a place where you're at an impasse. Sometimes we say you're stuck, overwhelmed, in whatever situation you make out of this. You're at a point or a place in your life where it's difficult to move forward, or you could actually find relief in having some help, guidance, partnership to work past that. You can look at coaching in athletics. You can look at coaching in business. You can look at coaching as in, you know, some people will hire a life coach. In all of those scenarios, there's some area, whether you realize it in the moment or not, that you desire to improve and can only be done through practice. And so from a coaching perspective, your coach will offer suggestions, or actually have you even look at different ways that you may not have thought of before to practice, to move past or beyond the stage where you find yourself at an impasse, stuck, or overwhelmed.
Mm. So essentially, you've run out of ideas, and you think you've tried everything that you can, Mm-hmm. And walking away is not an option.
Yeah. And so walking away, if you see walking away as not an option, it won't be an option.
Right.
Because you've now limited your choices. Now, in some cases where conflict is concerned, walking away might be an option.
Sure.
Particularly if it's a toxic environment, an individual who they have no desire to partner or collaborate, much less negotiate. And so in that fight, flight, or freeze, it might be good to just do the flight piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you've retreated. It doesn't mean you've given up. It means you've chosen something that serves you best in that moment.
So let's say someone does decide that they need coaching. They reach out to a coach. What types of goals might a client craft for themselves to better manage, handle, or show up for conflict?
And so there becomes this dialogue where more often than not, the first goal or the first thing a client says they want might not be what they want. It may be what they thought of in the moment, but then after having given it some thought, and coach oftentimes will ask questions you don't think of yourself. And so that's where that partnership comes in, as an outside entity who's not emotionally involved in the situation, can be a lot more practical, can also be a lot more logical, and afford you the opportunity to step back or zoom out and look at the landscape of what you have before you, and actually then devise a plan or craft a goal that actually suits your needs. And that's where a coach can be so helpful, because we ask what's called clarifying questions. So you find yourself in this conflict, or you find yourself in conflicts. You know, what ultimately would you want to happen, either in face of the conflict or in opposition to the conflict? And then, you know, I'll respectfully challenge you, because if you say, well, I just need to get away, got it. And once you get away, then what? Or in the process of getting away, what are you giving up? In the process of getting away, what are you gaining?
What have been some ways that you have seen clients and maybe even conflicts transformed through coaching?
The greatest transformation, going back to the ways we communicate, is to create enough awareness to move to a place where the conflict either dissipates or is completely removed. Oftentimes, it's because the collective you've misunderstood one another, or you believed you had more differences than you actually do. The transformation especially takes place with what I would say is the broadest spectrum of, when we first started working together, I did not understand this person and I didn't want to be in the same room or on the same call. And now we have such a great relationship. I have such respect for this individual, et cetera. So real transformation takes place when what you initially thought to not be possible becomes possible, and it is the reality and it is the norm.
Mm. Thank you.
Wow. Sure. Like, I just got this image of like infinite possibilities, like,
oh, yeah,
that is like a doorway opening, mm-hmm, that you didn't, not only did you not have the key to open that door, but you weren't even aware that that door was there.
Yeah. It was just a wall.
Yeah. Before. Mm-hmm. Because of the awareness piece, the A and A car.
Yeah. And you may even be aware from the responsibility, the R of A car. You may even create awareness about your position, your context, how you saw the situation. And taking responsibility through the lens of maturity to say, you know what? I really never gave that person a chance. You know, I had a preconceived notion about where they came from, what they look like, you know, how they sounded, where they went to school, whatever the case. Mm-hmm. And so that space and that grace, in the same way that you ask that of someone as you take on the practice, mm-hmm. you can also extend it, right? We talk about and we're aware of emotional intelligence, being compassionate, being more empathetic. All of those things are important. Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, Cynthia, you mentioned this earlier as well, is to actually see that individual as another human who has thoughts, feelings, expressions, motivations, hurts, fears, and to see that person in some cases as you see yourself, as flawed and as beautiful as humans are.
Really beautifully said. That's a perfect note for us to start to sort of wind down this conversation, I think. Wow, just the beauty in other people, the fear, the humanity, embracing that humanity in yourself and embracing the humanity in others. Well, thank you, Reggie, so much for taking the time to be with us and share all of your experience and insight. We've really enjoyed having you on the podcast.
If the topics and ideas you heard today resonated with you, be sure to share, like, and subscribe to the podcast so you're up to date on the most recent episodes. If you'd like to connect with us, we'd love to hear from you. Please reach out by email at fmcspodcast@fmcs.gov. Until next time.